Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church this week. Whether you are listening on the podcast or catching up on Facebook or YouTube or with us live on Wednesday evening, you're really welcome to Shift Church from All Saints Wellington and St. Catherine's Eyton. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar here, and a small team on the screen with me this evening joining the conversation. We have Lynn. Say hello, Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
And we have a first timer, new to Shift Church screen, though part of the Shift Church family for a long time. We've got Tabitha. Say good evening, Tabitha.
Good evening, Tabitha.
Very good. So, yeah. So last week was David's last week with us.
Sad face.
Everybody's sad face. Though that is not quite true, because Sunday was his last Sunday service with us, and we have a recording of his sermon. So actually, David is making a comeback tonight, though not live. we'll have the opportunity to have a look at what he had to say and have a chat about it and to take it apart or agree with everything he said, obviously. So this evening, if you're with us live, do join.
You might be listening, you know.
He might be. He's had to isolate. He got pinged over the weekend. He got pinged on Monday. So he's having to isolate now. So all the things he was planning to do about packing boxes and sorting things out for the move and all that kind of stuff, he can't do.
So he can pack boxes?
Yeah, no, because
I bet Kimberly's got a lot of boxes for him to pack.
It's the boxes in the parish centre. His office in the parish centre is meant to be packing up. He can't.
Somebody else will have to do that then.
It's been very frustrating for him. He was looking forward to a particularly chilled week, coffees and gratitude and all that kind of stuff, and he can't do it. Anyway, I was going to say, yes, do say hello. If you're with us live, do say hello on the comments stream, join in the conversation, make contributions, ask for prayer requests, whatever, really. It'd be lovely to catch up with you. If you are catching up with us, either on the podcast or later on, do drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And we'll include your contribution in the next one. I do have to say that we are actually taking a break for a couple of weeks. This will be the last Shift Church for a couple of weeks. We have 2 Wednesdays off, and then we'll be back beginning of September. So keep an eye on the Facebook group about that. But I'll remind you of that at the end as well. But I thought I'd get it in now in case the stream goes down. So this evening, we are thinking about God the Waymaker. And it seems to be the time of year for journeys. Lots of people doing journeys, and I wonder if you've got a journey story, either your worst journey ever or your best journey ever, or a favorite road that you like to walk on. What's your favorite way to go or your least favorite way to go? I'm going to ask Tabitha and Lynn in a minute, but I haven't warned them, so to give them chance to think, one of my journeys, probably least favorite journey, is when I was about 10, we used to live on the outskirts of Norwich. Okay? Outskirts of Norwich. And my gran and tide had a farm on the North Wales coast, halfway between Rhyl and Prestatyn. So on Boxing Day, so Dad was a curate at the time, so we'd have Christmas Day, do all his services. Boxing Day, we'd go and stay with Gran and Tide for a week or so after Christmas. So our Boxing Day drive, 30 years ago, whenever that makes, late 80s, early 90s, something like that. No, mid 80s, was from Norwich to Prestatyn, driving across the country. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to do that journey, but it is a long way and there are no motorways. It is 6-7 hours easily on A roads. It is an awful, awful drive. So there you go. That's if I had at the time the power to make a way wherever I'd want, it would be a motorway that actually runs east-west properly in this country, rather than all of them which just run north-south near enough. Yeah, there you go. What about you, Lynn?
Ooh, I was trying to think. I don't have a car, so most of my journeys are on train. So my journey stories are on train. A lot of them are travelling by wheelchair on train, which is doubly trouble.
Any particular horror stories?
I think probably going to Bournemouth, because to go from Telford you have to change about four times, and it takes like about 4 hours with all of that. And each time you think, are they going to come and bring the ramp? Are they going to come and get me off? Put me back on the right one. It's a bit of a nightmare.
Not much fun, is it?
No. So if you have a wheelchair and you travel, you have to like military plan ahead. It takes military planning.
And if you miss a connection, you're in a lot of trouble.
Stuffed. Yeah. I think the worst train journey I had must have been a long, long time ago, though, way before I had a wheelchair. And I can't even remember where I was going, but it was on an Arriva train, and it was somewhere in Wales. And we broke down in the middle of winter. I remember it being cold, and everyone was sitting there in their coat going like that. And you know those Arriva trains, if you've been on Arriva trains, I mean, I don't think they've improved over the years.
Probably still got the same trains.
Yeah, probably.
What about you, Tabsy?
I don't know, I'm trying to think, because I've obviously been on less journeys than both of you.
What are you saying?
Nothing. I wouldn't be insinuating anything. I dare say probably the train journey from Wellington to Shifnock, because it's a train journey that I used to have to get to go to...
That's nothing!
It's not the journey as much as the fact that it was always really crowded, and there was almost always like really loud drunk people whatever the time. I don't know why, and it was just, it's a horrible journey. And also it was the stress of having to go into sixth form because it was around, no, secondary school, because it was around GCSEs, and it was always that, you know, that, yeah, it wasn't the best, but
fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, well we're going to be thinking a little bit later about how God makes a way for us, and just to get us in the mood for that, we've got a bit of a psalm, a reflective piece, a bit of video, something to listen to. So wherever you happen to be, washing up, doing the ironing, walking the dog, let's just take a moment, breathe, be aware of the presence of God, and just relax a bit. And I'm going to share this. Enjoy.
The joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction.
Having trouble starting my video again there. Okay, so that's one contrast between the two different paths and two different ways to walk. We've got some Bible readings. Tabs, are you reading from Isaiah for us?
Yeah, I am.
Go on then.
Okay, so it's Isaiah 43:16-21. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smouldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do.
for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not perceive it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create withers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honour me before the whole world.
Ah, thank you. So that was Isaiah 43, was it?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And Lynn, are you reading from Acts?
From Acts. Yeah, I'm really reading Acts 9, 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Paul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So, as I said, we've got a return visit from David. He's reflecting on that for us. But if you've got questions or comments on the readings or thoughts as David's talking, do put them in the comments stream. We'll pick them up and Lynn will feed them into the conversation afterwards. So we will see you on the other side. Here we go. Okay, if I can share a screen, I can share a screen. Here we go.
Lord God, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so this morning we gather around it, wanting to hear what it says to us. So, presence of God, Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, we want to be changed to be more like Jesus this morning. Amen. So, during the summer, we've been able to share, basically, things that have been on our hearts. As those of us that are preaching, we were given a bit of a free rein to share what we thought the Lord might want to be saying in this season. And this is the third time I've got to do it. It's been great. I've loved it. They're all available on YouTube and our podcast page if you're new this morning and you want to catch up with the stuff that we've been talking about. But what I'd like to do is talk about these two passages we've looked at today, because they're two passages that have been coming up a lot for me over the last few years. And if I'm honest, I don't really know why. And I still don't really 100% know why. So I'm not standing here giving you an amazing answer. I'm hopefully here just giving you some things to think about. And I was thinking about that. I was like, Lord, why haven't you made it clear why these passages have been so important? What they keep coming up. You know, you might have Bible passages like that. Like you turn, I don't know, UCB radio on and they come up. Or you're praying with someone and they quote it. Or you open your Bible and it comes up. Things like that. It just happens again and again. And I think God might have said to me, well, if you knew why they were important, you might stop reading them as much. I think that's what you might have been gently saying to me. So I offer you some thoughts on these two passages from Isaiah and Acts about our God being a God who makes a way in the wilderness. Our God being a God who makes streams in the wastelands. And we're going to look briefly at Isaiah, briefly at Acts. And those of you that come here often will know that I like to be the little bit of a teacher. And you've got a little kind of handout in case you want to see how long I'm going to go on for. You can work it out. You know when you need to start waking up. So let's think about Isaiah. It's written in this passage kind of around the year 700 BC. And the whole of Isaiah speaks of God's holiness. It speaks of God's majesty, his saving power. It speaks of how he plans to involve Israel, his people, in the wider story. And this particular passage that we read in Isaiah, chapter 43, is written into a time where kind of God's people are finding themselves coming out of exile. So they've been roundly defeated by the Assyrians. Ooh, we don't like the Assyrians. And they've been kind of rounded up by and taken away to Babylon. And what we've seen is they've had the temporary end of kind of temple sacrifice, temple worship, and they've had the difficulty of maintaining their identity as God's people in a strange land. They haven't got the temple to go to. They haven't got their regular way of doing things. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, how many of us have real sympathy with the people of God in exile over the last couple of years? When for about a year we weren't able to come to church. When we were able to come to church, it looked really different. We've only just been allowed to sing. Communion looks a bit strange. And yet we're trying to weave our way around in a strange land, singing the Lord's song in a strange land, working our way with the people in exile. What does it look like? Maybe we've got sympathy with them. And Isaiah says these words. Verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? So on first reading, we might think, okay, forget everything. Throw it in the bin. We don't need to think about anything like that. God is saying, forget it all, chuck it in the bin and move on. But actually, if we listen to the verses just before, this is what we hear. So this is verse 16. So we've just had God saying, I'm doing a new thing. We've just had God saying, forget the former things. Then he says this. This is what Isaiah writes, sorry. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the armies and reinforcements. So do you see what Isaiah is saying? In one bit, forget about the former things. In the bit before, he's saying, hey, do you remember those former things that God did? They were good, aren't they? It sounds a bit like Isaiah saying, remember all the stuff God did. Remember when he took you out of the Red Sea. Remember when he conquered all your enemies. Remember that? Yeah, forget it. But I don't think Isaiah is saying that. I wonder if it's more of it's less erase them from your memory, and it's more let's not look through rose-tinted spectacles. Maybe it's more, yes, let's cling on and hold on to God's faithfulness and what God has done, but let's not hold on so firmly to what we might have done or what we might have looked like. I'm reminded of Exodus 16:13. The sons of Israel said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. We sat by pots of meat. We ate bread until we were full. You, Moses, have brought us out in the wilderness and you're going to kill us all with hunger. Because Egypt was so good, wasn't it? You see, let's not forget what God has done. Let's not remove the memories of his faithfulness. But let's not, we hold that intention with not looking back at rose-tinted spectacles. Do you remember when there were 8 services a day in every church in Wellington and hundreds of people were falling to their knees and declaring Jesus as Lord, and you'd walk down the street and just hear people singing in tongues and they'd walk past. Do you see what I'm saying? It's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to look back and say, oh, the good old days. It was perfect before COVID, wasn't it? We were all so happy and no one ever complained, no one ever was unhappy. If clearly not. If only we could get back to that, everything would be okay. And you know what? If I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, there's part of me that says, oh, if only we could go back to how things were and we'd all be comfortable. Wouldn't that be nice? Be easy, wouldn't it? God says, remember my faithfulness. Yes, remember my goodness. But let's not pretend that life was brilliant in Egypt. Let's not pretend that life was brilliant in exile or wherever, because I'm doing a new thing. And I wonder how the idea of doing a new thing makes you feel. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? When I used to be a teacher, if I drove into the car park of the school and someone was parked in the space I usually parked at, I'd be like, oh, don't they know that's mine? I wasn't the head teacher. I didn't have David Sims on the parking space. But part of me would be like, that's my space. Oh. I'd get, morning, yeah, no worries. Oh, back, you know, open the car door really. Oh, sorry. Normally there's a space there. I'm not used to, you know. Or maybe you go into your normal coffee shop or you go to your regular pub at Spoons and someone sat in the seat you usually sit in. Maybe, this never happens here, but maybe you go into church and someone sat in the pew that you normally sit in. And of course, we wouldn't go up to them and tell them to move because that's ridiculous. But part of us might think, oh, I've got to sit somewhere else now. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I wonder if change excites you or worries you or a bit of both. But the challenge for me, the challenge for us is that God is a God who is always making things new. He's a God who's renewing. We read this in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not fully transformed yet. Some of you might be. I know I'm not. It's a continual process that God is a God who takes us and keeps renewing us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. We sung about that in our last song. We are being transformed into his image. We haven't been transformed. We're not going to be. We are being transformed. It's a process of being transformed into his image with his glory that comes from the Lord. Again in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed. God is in the business of making things new. God is in the business of making a way in the wilderness, of bringing streams into the desert. And out of this, there are two challenges I'd like to throw out there this morning, which both of our readings talk about. Both our readings talk of renewal, of something coming out of the wilderness. And I want to talk about perception and proclamation. How perceptive are we to what God's up to? And how does that lead to us being people of proclamation? So, perception. Isaiah says this in verse 43. He says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I write my sermons in the car because I get to talk to the Lord with no distraction. I was driving to Wales this week with the wonderful Sturmies, who aren't here, they've gone with my children, their extended family, and we stayed in a lovely place. But as I was driving through, it was just me driving to Wales, had a few hours, and I was chatting to the Lord about this. And I really felt him say to me this challenge, and I share it with you, because it's a good one. God is good, isn't he? He says to me, I think he said, David, do you perceive what new thing I'm doing in you? Forget about the church, forget about life, forget about all that. Do you perceive what I'm doing in you? And if I was to ask you, my friends, what work is the Holy Spirit doing in you today? I wonder if you'd know, what aspect of your personality is he lovingly moulding slightly? What aspect of your lifestyle are you feeling prompted by the Spirit to realign into kingdom values? Because God longs to make a way in the wilderness in your life, the places that you're struggling, the place that you're being tempted to do the thing you know you shouldn't do, the place where you're feeling pain or despair or doubt. God is the way maker. He brings life to the desert. He brings water to the wilderness. So I wonder, do you know what God is doing in you? And we can't do that. I can't do that unless I'm perceptive to what God says to me. And we see this in our reading in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. One of the unsung heroes of the Bible, I think, a chap called Ananias, only gets a few verses. And he's in Damascus, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. And he says, yes, Lord. Now, there's many different ways the Lord can speak to us. There's many different ways we can perceive him speaking. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, he doesn't speak to me, I would love you to jump onto YouTube and find some sessions that we did last year for Shropshire Hope, where we talked a bit more about the gift of the prophetic, which sounds all hocus pocus, but basically it's God speaking to us and us hearing it. And we did a bit, we did a couple of hour sessions on what that means. But God is perpetually articulate. He is always speaking. Genesis 1, God speaks. At the end of Revelation, God speaks. The whole story of the Bible, the narrative of God's word, is bookended by God speaking. We read in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. For me, there are two main ways that God speaks, and I share them with you quickly if you're eager to perceive what God says more. First of all, and it's no surprise this, he speaks through his word. And I remember thinking one day, a few months ago, oh Lord, I don't feel you've spoken to me much recently. And I kind of felt him gently encourage me. Okay, David, how much time have you spent in the Bible then? You know when God says something and it's like, oh yeah, checkmate. Because that's the way that God so often speaks to us. We open the Bible and something jumps out at it. When I was looking at moving to Aldridge, the day I went to kind of just prayer walk around the area and see if it was right, I was working through the Bible. I read a chapter each morning, I try to. And the first line I read was in Corinthians, Paul writes, and he says, the Lord sent me to a certain town. He opened the door to preach the gospel. And I thought, okay, of all the sentences to kick off with, maybe I should go and knock on that door. I didn't get Angel Gabriel opening the door and giving me a letter or a big vision when I was driving down the M54, but God spoke to me, I believe, through his word. So that's one way we perceive God. And my challenge to you and to me is, how often do we spend in the word? Do we begin our day with the Bible? If we're not a morning person, do we listen to it in the car? Do we have them dotted around our homes on fridges or whatever? Whatever works for you, how do you spend time in the Bible? Because the more we do that, the more we'll hear God speak. A second way we perceive what God says is, I think, through pictures and thoughts that come into our head. Sometimes we might be praying, we might be singing, we might be just talking to someone, and a random thought will pop into our head. And I've kind of learned that the more random it is, the more often it is it's the Lord speaking. And we share that. We share it openly, we share it humbly. We don't say, thus says the Lord, because we're not Old Testament prophets. But we say, you know what, I think the Lord might be saying this. Maybe the Lord's nudging me to share this with you. And of course, there are times when there are dramatic dreams and visions and audible voices that I've never had the experience, but Ananias does. And what I love is that Ananias doesn't go, oh my goodness, I've had a vision. He goes, yes, Lord. Like this is kind of a normal thing for Ananias to experience, this tangible sense of the Lord's presence. So God's making all things new. And our first challenge is, how perceptive are we to what the Waymaker is saying to us in our hearts, in our lives, individually, and also corporately as a church? Not just the church in this building, but the church. How perceptive are we to what he says? Number two, proclamation. Isaiah says this in verse 21. The people I form for myself, he says, that they may proclaim my praise. Now, we talked about praising God a lot last week. I'm not going to go over old ground. But what we see is that out of a place of God making things new, out of the place of following the way that the Waymaker's done, we are led to proclaim his praise. To speak to a wilderness world out there of a God who gives living water. To speak to a world who needs to know the way that Jesus himself said, I am the way. To speak into a society that says, hey, believe what you want, do what you want, as long as you're happy. We stand courageously, hopefully, if we want a good day, and we say Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. And maybe we even say to a church that sometimes looks back through rose-tinted spectacles, you know what? God is doing a new thing. I wonder to what extent my life proclaims to people who don't know Jesus all that he is. You might think of friends or family members or neighbours you might know that don't yet know Jesus. And some of them think, oh my goodness, everything I say, everything I do will either proclaim Jesus or it will proclaim something else. That's probably the opposite of Jesus. And in Acts, we see what this proclamation might look like. Ananias has heard God speak. He's in a position of perceiving what God was saying. He's listening. He's open to God speaking. And he obeyed. He was a bit worried. He did say, Lord, are you sure? He's been going around killing people. God said yes, and Ananias was like, oh, okay, big gulp, and off he goes and does it. And many of us will know the bigger story, what this little act of obedience that Ananias does leads to. The Apostle Paul going around planting churches. We read this in Romans 15 that Paul says, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. In Acts 9:20, just after Saul's conversion to Paul, he says that he went to the synagogue and proclaimed Jesus as Lord. You see, Ananias perceived what God was saying. He went to Paul and proclaimed it. And Paul went out and proclaimed the gospel to more people. We will never know, you will never know, the impact of perceiving what God is saying and proclaiming to someone else. We might not go and plant thousands of churches like Paul did. We might not. God might be challenging you to just be obedient in one little thing. He might be nudging you and saying, you know what, you haven't quite perceived what I'm saying to you yet. And when you do, and when you step into that place of obedience, no matter how small it might be, we do not know how the Lord will use that to proclaim Jesus to so many people. And as we come to a close, I felt God saying this week that for some of us, God is wanting to do a work in our hearts before outside in the wilderness that is around us. That's not saying that's how he always works. You know, God doesn't really like formulas very much. But I felt him say that for some of us, maybe we're praying really hard about a situation at work or church, and we're praying for breakthrough. We're praying for a way to be made. And maybe what God is saying lovingly and gently is, I hear you and I love you, but what I want to do first is sort out what's going on in your heart. Maybe a place of doubt, maybe a place of fear, maybe a place of worry or whatever it is. God says, you know what, that's what I want to look at first. That wilderness in your heart is the one that I want to bring living water to. We see this in Saul. Saul's heart changed first on the road to Damascus. Granted, he didn't really have much of a choice, did he? But his heart changed to be one that was fully for Jesus. We see this in Jonah. Jonah's heart changed a bit grudgingly, but it changed. Esther got a heart of bravery and went before the king, and the wilderness that would have been the Jewish people being massacred was changed into an amazing triumph of life. So my prayer this week, and I invite you to join me, is a prayer that says, okay, Lord, I want to perceive what you're up to. I believe you're the way maker. I want to perceive what you're saying to me about the new things you're doing. And out of that perception, out of me hearing what you're saying to me personally, I long to proclaim Jesus. Lord God, your word is sharper than...
Hello. Oh, Tabitha's back. All right. So, yes, stick your... responses on the comment stream, or email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. We'll integrate them in. Ah, what about you guys? Tabitha.
Well, this is one of her worst journeys was when she was pregnant, going across the Irish Sea on a ferry, and she was sick the entire time.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Responses to what David was saying, or the Bible readings. Tabitha, what's your initial thoughts?
Well, you put me on the spot here, thanks, Dad. I've not even thought, okay. If someone else has already got thoughts, feel free to go first, and I think.
Liz says, it's a huge challenge, isn't it? To think am I proclaiming God through my life, through my actions, everything I say? I know I fail, but I also know God is always doing this work and always making things new. So I hope he's always carrying us forward. Love the grace of God. Mm. That's from Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it can always be a challenge to work out, behave and be like, proclaim what Jesus would say and proclaim all of that. Because, you know, sometimes I find myself quick to get in arguments over people online, and sometimes I have to step back and think, like, is this proclaiming what Jesus thinks? And sometimes I need to
shut up and actually, yeah, hold back. Sometimes I struggle with that, but I think it is a challenge and it's a good thing to work on.
Yeah. What about you, Lynn? What struck you?
Well, it was the second time of listening, and I suppose I heard more about the core of his message, which was what he was saying is God making a new way in you. I mean, I've been at that place where David is now. I've been the wife of a curate going to a new church. And it is a big, 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 big move, because David's facing not only big career decisions, and he'll have the spiritual decisions to make, but this new house, new schools, and they're sort of a critical time with the kids, aren't they? Because they're very young. So they'll be there in their schools, their separate schools or together schools for some time. And with the kids, there'll be social services involved, no doubt. So it's a huge lot to think about and organise, yeah. and new friends, losing old friends, making new friends. And also, I was thinking of the wider world, you know, this IPCC report's come out and it's basically said, you know, the world's stuffed. So the world is not what we knew it, how we knew it. Mm. As somebody said about the A-levels, you know, students have gone through 2 years learning in a pandemic world that we've never done before. We're doing church in a world we've never done before. Everybody's doing everything in a world we've never done before. And more so with the way the world's changing. So, but God is the way maker. Mm-hmm. You know, everything looks different and is different.
Yeah. Yeah, I was struck by that internal way making. Do you perceive what God's doing in you at the moment? Do you know what the Holy Spirit's working on in you? And also that kind of desire of God to where we feel desert or wasteland within us, the wanting to pour the Holy Spirit into that and bring new life and water into that. And that can feel very vulnerable, because almost by it's like somebody saying they want to have a look at a cut or a wound or something that needs cleaning out, something like that. You don't want somebody to do that or poke around, because it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Tabitha will remember me trying to take splinters out of her feet.
Oh, beetle.
Jameson has to do similar for me. It's not nice, is it?
No. And we know it's going to hurt more in the short term, so we don't want God to be poking around at the places that need sorting. But in the long term.
Yeah.
I must admit, as I said, that spoke to me, but still, as though he was talking, I was thinking, well, I don't know the answer to the question, what bit is God sorting out in you? I really don't know the answer.
If we don't know the answer, how do you think we find out the answer?
Well, we have to ask God and listen to what he's saying. Mm. And those are all the ways that David was saying you perceive God. Prophecy. I mean, it can be through and has been in my life through you know, the words of a song or something you see or something somebody has a word for you sometimes. It can be many in various ways. You know, some of us are more visual, some of us are more, it's something we hear. Some of it will be through what we read. And I think some of us pick up on things different ways. I've heard the audible voice of God once in my life.
That's once more than me.
Yeah, it's a pretty momentous decision. It was at Bible college, and there was a group of us in the room, and the God said, "That's the man you're going to marry." And I was a bit like Ananias, because that particular person wasn't, you know, my favorite of the month, as it were.
You sure, Lord? I've heard about him.
Yeah. Well, they picked up my friend and thrown her into a hedge.
Oh, I see.
But read it, I married him.
There you go, you see.
Yeah.
Be careful with this listening to God. I think also, I wonder if there are kind of seasons. Like, I think there are times when God lets us have a bit of a rest. I mean, I think if it were like relentless, he was always hammering away a bit here.
Quite emotionally tiring, I think.
Yeah,
I think so. So I think there are. I don't think it's something to get too fret up or
hit up. No.
If we're like thinking, I'm not sure what God's working on at the moment. It's like, okay, well, we've had a rubbish year. Maybe God's just giving us a bit of a break, and he'll come round to something.
Yeah, I mean, it's only when I've faced sort of life-changing, life-critical questions that I've sort of had a sort of poke from God, as it were. Mm.
I think sometimes we can see in retrospect how God shaped us during different seasons. We're not so much aware of it in the middle of it.
No, true.
But we look
true.
Back and we say, "Oh yeah, I am a different person to what I was then," and feel like God was doing some stuff then.
Yeah. I mean, I look back to when I was a really baby Christian, and I went to a sort of Bible study. Was a teenager, and this couple who were Methodists led it, and I didn't think anything at the time, but looking back I can see that couple, it wasn't a Pentecostal church, it wasn't a C of E church, but they sort of glowed with spirit, and I did not realize that, because I was barely a Christian, let alone spirit filled at the time, but looking back I can see that they glowed with the spirit. But that sort of goes with the thing that David was saying. You don't know the seed you sow, you know, can have an impact on people 10, 20, 30 years ahead.
Anything else striking you, Tabitha?
I think a lot of it's been covered, yeah.
Okay, okay. Anything else on the comment stream, Lynn?
Oh, gosh, sorry. I'm losing the plot here.
It's all right.
Emmy says, I find it hard to perceive whether it's God or my own thoughts and wants. Emmy says, she has to ask him for confirmation a few times, but then again, so down to notice, didn't he?
Yeah. I find in those kind of circumstances, the idea of triangulation is really helpful. If you like doing map reading, or you're trying to locate a place, you need a bearing on it from three different other places, and then they all cross, and then that's the point. So you triangulate on a point. And it's called triangulation, and it means that you get different inputs. So I find it helpful to think, okay, particularly if I'm thinking, is it me or is it God, to listen out for other independent inputs that might be saying it. So for instance, what David said about sometimes Bible passages come up, and I've had it where a particular Bible passage has come up in my morning reading, in a talk I heard at the weekend, and randomly somebody else will say it to me. And if I get the same Bible passage being put at me within a week from three completely independent sources, I take it fairly seriously that there's something in there that I need to be taking account of. So it's that kind of independent sources. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's helped me kind of get my head around that kind of thing. Okay. Well, we're thinking about God as Waymaker. So shall we have the Waymaker song?
Oh, somebody's All Saints Wellington. I don't know who that is.
That might be Mom.
Liz, it might be David.
No, she comes up as Liz.
Might be David. Wellington say it's almost certainly David or.
Okay then. I think God is always doing work in me. Sometimes it's hard chiseling away, and sometimes it's softer erosion.
Yeah.
I think that might be David.
Or Caroline. Or Claire. Yeah. Any of the All Saints staff team, that could be.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair comment. Sometimes
he says he can't remove himself as admin.
It's David. Right, yeah.
Barry says the impact of the exile was hugely fundamental for those from Israel. Has COVID been comparable, and will we miss an opportunity if we just return to normal?
Wow, that's a big question.
Yeah.
Well, we won't return to normal.
Yeah. I don't think we should really. I think
I don't think we would. That's what I mean by the not the geography, the state of the world has completely changed. COVID and climate change is doing that, and yeah. So you know, governments, churches say we'd like to go back to normal, but it isn't. It's sort of making a way in a new land. Yeah. Well, it's the same land, but it's the land itself has changed.
Yeah, there have been some big changes, and I know that a kind of isolation and things have been traumatic for people. I'm not sure it is as big a change as being relocated to a completely different country. So I'm not sure it is as significant as exile. I think there are some parallels and some things we can learn from that experience, but I'm not sure it's as extreme. I'm assuming you're not laughing at me, Lynn.
No, I'm not. Yes, I'm afraid it's David again. Credit to Tim. Each time he's led Shift Church when I was preaching, he's had to trim my sermons almost in half. That's making a way.
I didn't trim this one in half. I just
took
the free prayer waffle off the front.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I just read the stuff.
Yeah. We're going to continue reflecting on this stuff with Waymaker, and then that'll lead us straight into prayer. So if you've got prayer requests, feel free to share them on the stream while we're having this song. Or if you want to send stuff into the Facebook group or to email them to me, we'll pick them up in the coming weeks. Right. I need to move that onto there and then do this. So I will just talk amongst yourselves. Here we go. There we go. What we're doing.
Cheers.
So as we come to pray, we take a moment to pause. To invite the Holy Spirit to show us the way. To make us aware of where the Holy Spirit is working. Pause to bring our wilderness to God and receive his living water. Having paused, we now take the opportunity to rejoice, to thank God for what he has done and who he is. Father God, thank you that you make a way. You pour living water in. Thank you that Jesus is the way and we can follow him and trust him and know your life. Amen.
We thank you for the answer to prayer, Lord, that Ali's friend Danny is recovering from COVID. Thank you that we prayed for him last week and we see an answer. Thank you very much. We pray for all of those who feel a wilderness inside them. And we pray for everyone who's facing big life decisions and looking for the way that God is making for them, whether it's moving home, job, deciding after exams whether to go to university or whatever to do. Big life decisions, Lord. They're very difficult and it's hard to know your way. We just ask for your touch on our hearts that we might know what to do, which choice to make. Amen.
Amen. We continue to bring our requests to God as we ask for the things we need. We pray for those of our Shift Church family who are away on holiday, having a break. Pray that they will have a refreshing time. For those of us who can't get away on holiday, would we know you close to us, refreshing our inmost beings. Amen.
We pray for those who are bereaved, Lord, and for those who are mourning, others mourning family. It's a process, Lord, but it's a hard one, and we just pray that you'd be with them, especially close at this time. Amen.
We pray for all the A-level students and GCSE students who have just got the results. We're getting the results next week. Yeah, we pray for your comfort and for your love and for your way-makerness so you can show them their journey. Amen.
And we bring our prayers to close as we yield to God. We yield our desire to control and to make our own way. We don't want to do things our way, Lord. We yield, come and have your way. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been lovely to have your company this week. Some of you live, some of you catching up, listening later. Just a reminder, if you want to get in touch, do drop us an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And also a reminder that we are having a 2-week break. It's not going to be Shift Church for the next 2 weeks, but then we will be back in September, all refreshed and renewed with a new term's worth of material. It's going to be really exciting. So do tell all your friends, invite people to join the Shift Church family, recommend the podcast to your friends, proclaim it. Yeah, proclaim it, preach it, brothers and sisters. Cool. So very good. So thank you for your company this evening, Lynn and Tabby.
Yep.
Very good.
Liz has said something, and I think this is a great one to end on. It's the song from the line from the song, "Even when I don't see it, you're working."
Yeah.
Even when I don't hear it, you're working. But it's great.
Yeah.
Really. It occurred to me on Sunday. You know, it's grand.
It is indeed. Thank you very much. Right, say good night, Tabitha.
Good night, Tabitha.
Say good night, Lynn.
Good night, Lynn.
And it's a good night from me. Goodbye, everybody. See you in a couple of weeks.